Blog Talk Radio.
Brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I made a mess of the life I had with you, in search of something new. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass on the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Why didn't I know that she was a essential part of me? I thought that I needed to find me, and I needed to be free. Why didn't I know that she was all that I would ever need? I looked at the distant view and thought it was for me. But now I know it was just brown grass. On the other side, nothing but brown grass. Now I'm open wide to the truth I left behind, a love so hard to find. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass. Now I find myself rolling round on brown grass. Now I find myself falling down on brown grass.
All right. All right. We're back. And this is the Real Talk for Real People Study Show. My name is Yam Sufal Reef. Imagine what we're here to study. The truth. Not a cross-contaminant version, but the truth of the Elohim. Yah, the greatest. The world, the universe, greatest. The only one and only. Not some addition, add-on. And certainly not some new thing, Isaac. Because the Elohim is continuous, timeless, forever and a day. And that's what we're here to study. We're here to do a critical analysis and assessment. We're here to take a bird's eye view. We're here to do a cross every T, dot every I, to get to some solutions. That's what the Elohim would have us to think about him, to do about him, and what to do about what he said, what to do. As simple as that. That's why we are monstrosity, all of us together. And that's simply a false concept of pride. As the Most High says, pride comes before a fall, and that's certainly the truth. I've seen many people, by my own observation and in our experience, have failed simply by pride. Most High don't like prideful people. The humble people you can deal with, you can address, you can reason with, but you can't reason with a fool. It's just that simple. You cannot reason with a fool. Matter of fact, the Most High said, seven wise people can tell a fool something, and they're not going to hear it anyway. Let them say they got all the sense in the world. So that being said, this is not for fools, because you cannot deal with a fool. And that's the truth. Also, the plot seems to thicken as far as the Memphis Police Department is concerned. They submitted a police report, an initial police report, but all the onus and blame seemed to be on Brother Tyree. It just seemed as those police officers simply fell out of the sky, and Tyree was at them. He was reaching for their guns. He was attacking them. He was spraying them with pepper spray. He was handcuffing them. Oh yes. The plot seems to thicken. Well, when you tell a whole bunch of lies, it's hard to keep up with the lie you told before that. But that being said, I wonder whoever wrote that report. Was it the lieutenant? The white lieutenant, I suspect, that was at the scene, but nowhere to be seen. Yes, the plot thickens. But thanks to the Most High, everything will be cleared up. If not today, maybe tomorrow. If not on this earth, when everybody is judged, everything will be revealed. You can hide some things, but sooner or later they catch it with you. Praise and bless the Most High for that. But most importantly, we're here to find out the plot thickens with Abram, soon to be Abraham. His wife seems to be interceding in matters that is far beyond her. Yeah, Mother Sarah had the good intent, but even with good intent, if we go to know, we get you intently in a bad situation. Yes, Mother Sarah had good intent, but the Most High don't need you to do anything and or say anything in any regard. Just needs you to shut up, lay low, and stay out the way, as Mother Sarah should have done, but we as human beings, we seem to take on matters that simply don't concern us, and things get far worse. We'll find that out in this segment of studying. Bereshit, the first chapter in the Torah, the first book, I mean, and I'm not talking about Genesis either. But before we get to that, I'd like to introduce some friends of mine, some brothers and sisters that loves the Most High with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and their brothers and sisters as themselves. It should be. And it is Sister Avia from New York City and Brother Cartrell from New York City. Let me bring them on for you. Sister Avia, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
May he bless you too. All praises and glory to Yah. I hope everyone's doing well. And I know it's a mess, just like you were talking about with Tyree. All that, everything, they're going to keep switching up the story. So,
oh, yeah, we're used to that.
It's not going to be over yet. So, yeah. But anyway, it's just good to be back.
God, that's what wicked people do, Sister Abia, if you didn't know it. But observation, they're going to make you the bad guy or the bad girl. So it's to be expected. I mean, no matter their police, fireman, engine, chief, doctor, lawyer, if they're wrong, they're going to dirty you up too and make you wrong.
That's just right. But you know what they did, like what they did with the white police officer, they said all he did was tase. That was the damn enough right there. Oh, excuse my language. But that was enough right there. So you know they're covering his behind.
You got fired up there, you sister.
And then he the one that took my, I hope they stomp him.
Yeah,
so
he's a
part of it.
I think it may have been another white officer, the lieutenant that they're not showing picture. I think he may. See, they're not showing his picture. But I think that boy that said, I hope they stomp his ass. Well, he put that ethos into the country. I always said, don't be putting them kind of words out there. He put that ethos into the system. Well, I would say this in every regard for him. I hope they stomp his ass, too. Okay? All right.
What comes around goes around.
You better believe it. All right. Let's bring on Brother Cartrell. Good to have you back, Sister Abia. Cartrell, may the Most High bless you. Your mic is hot. Shalom.
Bless y'all, my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. All praise to the Holy One of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. May the Most High bless you. Yam Suf and Sister Abia, too.
Thank you, brother. May the Most High bless you.
Appreciate it. You're talking about issue with the brother cops and a brother.
Right.
I guess the white boy was too heavy to run after the brother, too slow, because he wasn't.
Yeah.
in
you know that
he
boy could
have a belly on
him. He run after a donut.
He got tired after he tased the brother. He couldn't move no more. But,
well, you could see him rolling up his wires to his taser. Look like he was tied right there, rolling his wife back on the station. Go ahead, gotcha.
From the video, there was like at least 10 cops or 10 uniformed people out there. And you only took down 5, and you have to bring up 2 today. When you're going to bring up the rest of them? Because they're first responders. They're called first responders.
Right.
And I was a first responder as a shop steward, and I know what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to admit to aid immediately somebody's in trouble. Immediately.
Exactly. Right.
But they waited like almost a half an hour while the brother was just sitting there on the curb. And it's so sad that they treat us this way.
Yeah. And didn't nobody do a thing.
And the thing is, they usually bring up a brother's rap sheet in incidents like this. Oh, he was a drug addict. He was a criminal. He got arrested 15 times for this and that. They had no rap sheet on Brother Tyree Nichols. No
rap. Let me ask you all this. I didn't mean to cut you off, but did you hear that Tyree and one of the police officers was dating each other?
No. From what I've heard, and my wife shared it with me, is that, this is not proven that he was dating one of the police officer's exes. A wife, literally wife, and that he worked with. And that's why I heard rumors.
I saw it on Facebook, and I had reposted it, and then something told me, no, take that down. You don't have all the information.
Yeah, unless you get a confirmation on something, it's best not to say yet. That's why I hadn't mentioned that per se, because it's just unproven. Unless it's proven to be factual, or it's the young lady saying something, somebody can verify that. You know, I don't go around repeating everything I heard because you put and I certainly didn't hear the part about him and the police officer, and so therefore we deal in truths and not in fool's book speculations and so on and so forth.
Yeah, because I heard the same thing you heard, that he was messing with the ex girlfriend or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So unless I'd be fearful to say it on that. I just heard those rumors, and I'm going to say that again. I heard those rumors, unproven rumors, okay?
Well, one thing is not a rumor. is that they had intent to hurt that brother, and they went about and hurt that brother for no reason. To try to cooperate the best he could, but they used overkill.
Yeah. They weren't trying. He was trying to cooperate with them, but they certainly weren't trying to cooperate with him. Even to his death.
I had an epiphany about that Gregory Porter song, Brown Grass.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Sound like he's thinking about wisdom.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, because that's all he needed to help him out. But he abandoned wisdom and wound up in brown grass.
Yeah, because if you abandon wisdom and understanding, that's the only other place for you to... The only other place is brown grass. Good epiphany, Cartrell. Good epiphany. Well, Cartrell, Sister Avia, and fellow students, we're ready to proceed and find out what did Sarah do, what did Hagar do, and who is Ishmael and all that. We're going to get to the bottom of it because we're dealing truth. Praise God, turn to chapter 16 of Bereshit, and it's the first book of the Torah, and it's not Genesis, the Greek name, okay? The Hebrew, the original. Go to the source. Praise God and bless his holy name. Let his footstep be our pathways, and let wisdom and understanding guide us. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Now Sarah, Abram's wife, had borne no children. And she felt in some way about her husband. She wanted to please her husband. And she had a Mithraim maidservant, you know, a Hermetic maidservant who looked remotely like us, whose name was Hagar. So Sarah said to Abram, looking out for her man's best interest, see now, trying to help Yah. Yah didn't need her help. I know that was considerate of her, but Yah don't need your help. Now, she didn't go to Yah. She just did this on her own feeling for her husband. I can appreciate that. Don't get it wrong. I can appreciate her looking out for her husband, for his heritage. But she didn't even do that because she didn't consult the Elohim in this matter. See now, the Elohim has restrained me from, now he made me, I can't have no children, okay, from bearing children. She was being rational with her humanistic concepts. Please go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her. And Abram, he listened to his wife instead of the Elohim. He should have went to the Elohim in prayer. He needed the voice of Sarah. He loved Sarah. He knew Sarah looked after his best interests. Then he needed the voice of Sarah. Then Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Mizraimite, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, he had been there 10 years. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised, and she felt she was better than Sarah. This old lady can't have no baby. Look at pop go the weed. I had one right off the bat. And so she looked down on Sarah in her eyes. You ain't nothing. I'm the queen here. But she was wrong, dead to the wrong. Because that wasn't by choice in a sense of Abram. That was by force, by Sarah leading him in that direction. Then Sarah said to Abram, and she realized, it dawned upon her what she did was outside the scheme of things of the Elohim. And she humbled herself and corrected the matter in her word. My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. I put it in that situation. I put you in that situation. And when she saw that she had conceived, as a result of what I did, what a part I played, I became despised, and she looked down on me. And Yah judged between you and me, the wrongs, what part we played in this. Yes, I brought it to you, husband, but you ought to knew better. You knew the Elohim. You knew Yah. You I didn't consult y'all in this matter, and I'm wrong too. I'm just as equally guilty as you, Abram, and I'm not gonna just put it all on you. What part I played in this? That's because you kind of need a woman like that. You kind of need a man like that because they can see their own shortcomings, and both of them played a part in the matter. Also, Abram said to Sarah, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand." Well, baby, we both played a part. But whatever you want to do about her, is that I'm down with you. Because me and you ride together. We own this team. Now, I did my wrong. You did your wrong. But whatever. Whatever you think to do right by this woman is fine by me. That's the kind of relationship you have. Go to the rock you were hewn from and the dirt you were dug from. That kind of attitude for its relationships are concerned. For us, each other are concerned. Seeing your shortcomings. Not saying, oh, you dirty Abram, you dirty Sarah. Everybody taking ownership of their own responsibility. It wasn't by force. It was by choice on either party, except your shortcomings. Uh-huh. Yeah, go ahead, Cadrell.
How about this, Yansu?
Go ahead, my brother.
They chose a black woman, an Egyptian.
A sister.
To be Abraham's second wife for him to have a child.
Exactly.
So Abraham wasn't prejudiced. I guess what we call Africans or Egyptians or Hamites.
No, he wasn't prince.
Hagar as mm-hmm. his second wife. And we have to know that Ishmael's mother is Egyptian. So
Middle East. Yep. Certainly is. Thank you, Kajer, for clarifying that and espousing and exposing that to the students. They need to know this. She was not prejudiced in that sense of the word, and neither was Pharaoh, so it seems. But they were wrong. Both played a part in the mess they made together. He said, indeed, your maid, that's your maid, is in your hand. You can do whatever you want to do. Do to her as you please. I shouldn't have even been a part of this, but I was, unfortunately. But do as you please, my brother, because we own this team together. And when Sarah dealt harshly with her, which was wrong on Sarah's part, because Sarah was the instigator in this magic. So Sarah, because she looked down on Sarah, felt some sort of way, and she dealt harshly with her. And she dealt so harshly with her that she fled from her presence. Oh, hell to the no. I was just minding my business, doing my maid work, and you came to me, and your husband got down with me. Now I get to be down? No, Sarah. No, Abraham. And no, Hagar. Because I'm going to tell you why, Hagar, what part you played in this. When you had that baby, you had an attitude problem. Sarah, tell you something. Hagar, I need you. I ain't got to do that now. I'm the one who got the baby. You can't have no baby. You know how we get. Shemites and Hamite women, they got similar attitudes. I ain't got to do all that. I got the baby. You can't have no baby, old lady. So, understand me. Sarah, I'm going to deal harshly with her, which she did, unfortunately, which wasn't right. But everybody's playing a part in this debacle, okay? Now, the angel of Yah found her after she run off, found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring of the way of Shur, to Shur. And he said to Hagar, Sarah's maid, where have you come from? And where are you going? Where you come from? And where are you going? Where have you come from? And where are you going? You just running all helter-skelter. And she said, I'm fleeing from the presence of my mistress, Sarah. The angel Elohim said to her, no, 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 no. Everybody playing a part in this debacle. And I can't tell you what to do nothing wrong. He said, return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand. Because you done got all proud and all high mighty just because you had that baby. You done got mouth and attitude just because you had that baby. Yes, Auburn was wrong. Sarah was wrong. But you really capitulated to the situation yourself. And then once you had that baby, you had attitude problem. So, Hagar, what part did you play? And he tells her, because you got prideful. And he tells her, submit yourself under her hand. and y'all going to work on Sarah. Then the angel of the Elohim said to her, to give her comfort, I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, and certainly they are, so that they shall not be counted for multitude. And the angel of Yah said to her, Hagar, behold, you a child. You shall bear a son. You shall call him Ishmael, our brother, the Arites, because they don't buy none. Because the Elohim has heard your affliction, what you've been through, or what you put yourself through. Your son shall be a wild man. Don't you think them Arabs act like wild men? They don't buy none, do they? They'll fight you and they'll keep fighting you. They'll fight you in the morning. They'll fight you at night. They'll fight you at noontime. They'll fight you when it's right. They wild men. And they buy none. They have a, because they were firstborn, in a sense, and not of our heritage. They got that fierceness about them. You may beat them tomorrow, but they'll come back next week. You may beat them next year, but they'll come back 2 years later. They're much more fearless than we are. That's why we need the Elohim. See, when we become fearless, because we're associated and connected with the Elohim, we become fearful when we're not associated and connected with the Elohim. But these brothers right here, they buy none.
And the fact that they are spiritual people, very
yes.
spiritual, some of the most spiritual people on the planet, that's why
yes.
they are fearless.
Yeah, they're fearless. They believe in their Allah. And you better believe it. You go over there and start saying something. See, we don't let folks talk about y'all. See, we ain't like King Darwin in that sense. When King Darwin came on the scene with Goliath, and he was mocking and ridiculing Israel and the Elohim, he took issue with it. He wanted to put in them boots. You know, he was fearless when he came to the Elohim. That's why the Most High loved him, unlike some of us. He was ready to die for the Elohim, unlike some of us. That's how you have to be with the Elohim, just like our brother Ishmael. They are fearless for Allah. You got to make a cartoon of Allah, and they be hunting you for years, ridiculing Allah. We let folk talk about Yah, and don't say a
Muhammad.
What's that, Kaji? Yeah, the prophet Muhammad.
Yeah, talk about Muhammad. They take your head.
Take everything you got and your family's head too. Go ahead, Katria. It's true, my brother. He said he should be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man. And certainly our brother's hand are against every man. He'll lay hands on any man. And every man's hand on, and everybody is against him. In your mind's eye, look at the Arabs. Won't they lay hand on any man? On all nations against them? Universally speak, oh, it's true. The Most High don't lie. We do. He just dwells in the presence of all his brethren. And he is in the presence of all his brethren. He's in the presence of Esau. He's in the presence of Zaku. He's in the presence of Abram's first and only born. Everybody see him. Everybody see what he do, how he do it, and when he do it. And he ain't scared to let you know he doing what he do. And ain't going to stop doing it. He's in the presence of all his brethren. The Most High don't lie. We do. And then she called the name of Yah, who spoke. Even Hagar knew who Yah was. How did she know? She knew by virtue of Abram. She knew by virtue of Sarah. She knew by virtue of that whole household structure that everybody knew the Elohim Yah. And by her being a part of that household structure, that's the only thing was talked about. Yah, Elohim. Sarah spoke about it. Abram spoke about it. And all the servants born in that household knew about the Elohim Yah. Go ahead, Katriel.
And how did they know? He came off that victory defeating five kings, right? They
exactly.
all saw that. They had to know that the Most High was with this man for him to take 318 trained men and defeat five kings. They had to be convinced. So I'm sure she was convinced, even though she came from Egypt. They had a lot of gods, even the gods of Egypt. They got all kind of gods. But she knew early who the God of Abraham, Isaac was.
Exactly.
And the Most High is saying he's going to protect her son and bless her son. So she's with that. And for her to meet an angel, wow.
Right. That's high. That's high esteem right there.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's high esteem.
She ain't just talking to any man. She's talking to an angel. How many of us can say that?
Exactly. And she can appreciate. She could have. I know she appreciated it. Okay. Thank you, Katriel.
Mm-hmm.
Called the name of Yah who spoke to her. You are the Elohim who sees. That's what she says about him. I've heard about you by Abram, by those 318 men, by Sarah. They came back talking about you and how you gave them the victory. You are the Elohim who sees. For she
sees. He sees her, doesn't he?
Everything and everybody. And she acknowledged that. Oh, I heard about you. You are the Elohim who sees everything and everybody. For she said, have I also here seen him who sees me? Do I see who I think I'm seeing who sees me? Therefore, the well is called Be'alahah. Observe it is between Kadesh and Bethesh. So Hagar bore Abram a son. And Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when his son was born, when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Yah, we're here. That's what his name means. You want to know what Ishmael means? Yah, we're here. You're going through some trials and tribulations? Don't worry about it. Don't call Yam Suf. Don't call my wife. Don't call my friends. Don't call Cartrell. Don't call Sister Avia. Yah sees everything. Yah, we're here. And he will come to your rescue. As he came to the rescue of Hagar. As he came to the rescue of Ishmael. And as he will come to the rescue of you. But just realize this. She had to humble herself. She knows she was out of place. Talking to her mistress like that, getting all sassy and snappy at the mouth. I ain't doing that. I got this baby here, old lady. You need to be doing that. But not realizing the importance and significance of a relationship between a man and a wife. And what did Abram do? Baby, I ain't really want no parts of this anyway. And whatever you do, baby, sign by me. Understand the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from. And you as a team, Abram knew what being on the team meant. Sarah, even though what she did was not right, looking after her husband's best interest, but she realized what team she was on. See, we are monstrosity. He wants to do what he wants to do. She wants to do what they want to do. The children go every damn well. It is a hot mess. It's a monstrosity. Why? Not exercising wisdom and understanding and not knowing the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from, had to, even though you make mistakes in relationship, but even that being said, how to humble yourself, how to come back together for the interest of the team. See, Abram came back. Sarah, mine came back. For the interest of their team, they knew what team they were on. And Sarah and Hagar not realizing you're not part of the team. You can't say what you want to say. when you want to sit, how you want to sit. It ain't going to work for you. It'll work for Auburn and Sarah, us, because we in this us thing together. But your bad attitude, oh, no, this ain't going to work for you. Because, yeah, Auburn, my husband, he made some mistakes. Sarah, I made some mistakes. Hagar, you made some, too. And you come in like you part of the team. No, honey, you ain't part of the team. You my maidservant. You need to humble yourself. And what did the angel tell her? You go back and submit yourself. Humble yourself. I don't know if she had any additional problems with her relationship with Sarah. I doubt it. Because Sarah was a God-fearing woman. She knew what part she played. Did she have a problem with Auburn? I doubt it. Because Auburn was a God-fearing man. But he knew what part he played. And they humbled themselves before the Elohim and toward one another. And Hagar evidently learned a lesson and shared that lesson with her son. But then even that, they're wild men and women. And they bought none. Praise y'all and bless his holy name. Patriel, y'all have the mics.
Yeah, you know what I mean also? That,
yes.
Sarah's thinking was broken at that time.
Yeah, that juncture.
Because she should have, what she should have did, if she wanted to please him, she should have went to Yah first.
Amen.
And then she could have asked Yah to let her bear her own child.
Amen.
And the situation might be different.
Amen. Hallelujah. You on board with that? Ring. Hey, Kajel, Sister Aviyah wears the golden bell for the moment.
Ooh, thank you.
2020 is hindsight. What you do in the moment that
right.
Those things are happening. And
right.
They showed their character. Abraham wasn't an abusive husband. He could have told Sarah, be quiet. You know, this is my wife now. She got my child. He didn't do that to her. He told her, yeah, you created this situation. The situation is still in your hands, however you want to deal with it. And she had to humble herself. But Sarah was like a queen. If Abraham defeats five kings, what does that make him?
King.
It makes him like a king. And how about his wife? What would she be?
She was like a queen.
So Hagar should have had the respect for Sarah as if she were a queen.
Exactly.
But once she had that child, Ishmael, she felt that she was above Sarah's level because she knew that Abraham wanted a son. But who named Hagar's son?
Abram.
How did Abraham know to name Hagar's son Ishmael? Because the conversation was between the angel and Hagar. Hagar didn't name Ishmael. Abraham named Ishmael. How did he know their name, his son Ishmael?
Isn't that amazing? Yes, indeed.
Well, again, here's what I like about Rofa. No matter what mistakes was made on either side, they did not let anybody come between their relationship. That's what I like. Right. I can respect that. Because they knew both of them played a part. And they didn't let anybody come between them. I can respect that. The rock you were hewn from, and that's why we are hot mess and monstrosity in relationships. We don't look at the rock we were hewn from. We just do any tacky old mess. It doesn't work. They need to follow the example of Auburn and Sarah.
Or make wisdom their companion. Because we read yesterday what Kohelet, the preacher, King Solomon, what did he say? He said that there is no man
who
on earth
that does not sin.
So you played that record. Everybody plays a fool sometimes. So we see Abraham, Sarah, Hagar, they played a fool.
Everybody plays the pool sometimes.
But you have to correct your mistakes like Abraham, Sarah, and Hagar did. Hagar, most of all, she had to humble herself and go back. She ain't know where she was going. That's why they, where you going? Where you coming from? Where you going? You got plans? Listen, you can't just be out here by yourself. You have to go back to Abraham's house where you will be guaranteed protection from me. Yeah.
Right.
And not only will you be protected, you'll be blessed. If you follow these instructions, just humble yourself. What the Most High told, what the Most High told the angels to tell Hagar, he's telling us the same thing. Israel, humble yourself. And we seem to have a hard time with that.
Truth be told, Contra, universally speaking, not just one of us, all of us.
No doubt. That's our greatest challenge, humility, mm-hmm. and to learn how to love each other, who Yah considers his treasure. Why don't we love, you know, Yah's treasure like we should?
Exactly.
And we wouldn't have incidences like the Tyree Nichols incident where five brothers killed one brother for no good reason. But anyway, I want to talk about Ishmael. Ishmael, his name has power, doesn't it?
It certainly does.
What does it mean?
Yah will see.
Yah will hear.
Oh, well, excuse me, hear.
And does Yah hear them? Oh, yeah. They pray all the time. Matter of fact, they pray 3 or 4 times a day. They got that little rug, put that little rug down, and they pray every day. That's why they beat the Russians. That's why they kicked the United States out of Afghanistan and Iran and Iraq. Yeah, they pray. And Yah hears.
Yeah, and they ain't scared. They ain't scared.
They ain't not afraid. Because they know Yah hears.
And
do we know that?
They don't go along with
supposed to know that too.
They're not
that's,
into
that's supposed to be our secret too.
Right.
Yeah, Yah hears us when we call. But he ain't hearing us when we walking crooked.
No. Forget about
walking
that.
Crooked, y'all ain't listening to you.
Forget about that.
And we definitely don't pray 3 times a day.
Exactly. Yeah, we pray on something, P-R-E-Y. But we ain't P-R-A-Y any day. Much a whole bunch of nothing. Well, we P-R-E-Y on a whole bunch of nothing, but we don't pray P-R-A-Y on a whole bunch of something. That's the problem. A monstrosity.
We only pray when we're in trouble.
A hot mess. You're right, Contreras. We in real big trouble. And the evidence doesn't lie. The evidence doesn't lie. And I can respect Brother Tyree calling on his mother. I respect that. But I think you should be calling on the LM too.
First and foremost.
I think he was saying, Yah, help me, LOM, please help me. Mama, Yah, help me, please help me, LOM. Mama! Yeah.
If he had called on the Most High probably would have gave him the strength of Samson. He could have probably would have snatched one of the batons and killed all of the officers.
You've been running him back to the car. Come back here. You ain't lying, Country. You ain't lying, my brother.
You know, you never know.
You never know?
Because he's an innocent man. He's running. And like I said, after they beat him up and sat him against the car, they talking about their wounds. Your wounds? Your leg hurt? Okay.
I'm kicking a brother. Okay. You got mace on yourself for macing each other trying to mace the brother. Okay. And I guess you got finger burning for telling those lies on that initial police report. The other officer that wasn't on the scene. Okay. All right.
Yeah, and with those lies they're telling, they're only digging themselves in a deeper ditch.
That's all they're doing. I mean, you got the vice president coming tomorrow. What if speaks volumes? I mean, you got half of his administration coming. They're telling Memphis, Tennessee, y'all need to straighten this up, and you need to straighten it up now, and you need to straighten it up right. Because our eyes on you. Ain't nobody going to get away. You know, Country, I thought about brothers like
What's
him
that?
and George Floyd. And like you said, when you mentioned George Floyd, was he part of the Levitical tribe? And I'm thinking the same thing about this, because he was so kind-hearted. They said he was so smooth. He liked sunset. He liked skating on a skateboard. You know, he wasn't no rambunctious, arrogant, and violent-type brother. He was easy-breezy, man. And I thought Cottrell could have a point there. Because George Floyd was a personable person, although he had an addiction. This young brother didn't know the LOM, but he had that spirit of a Levitical individual. You could be on something, Cottrell.
Well, his passion was taking pictures of sunset.
Yeah.
I mean, how many brothers do that?
Yeah, mellow stuff.
He looked like one of the Temptations, the way he was showing
him. He looked like George Floyd, a small version of George Floyd. Yeah.
But what we're going through is what our forefathers went through when Pharaoh put the edict out to kill all the Hebrew boys when they were born. They were throwing them in the mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Fortunately, they saved Moses. Moses' mother saved them. Which you're gonna get into, but
right.
The fact that the same thing is going on, but at least Pharaoh in ancient times made the declaration: kill all the Hebrew boys that's born. These people, modern day Egypt, there's a silent war on our brothers.
Exactly.
And every day we get shot down.
The edict was made.
It's the same thing.
It's not been verbal on a public announcement. But the edict has been made among themselves, and they execute it great. And they have some of us who carry out the edict, okay, for the case of those five brothers. So the edict has not been publicly announced, but the evidence that it has been in effect is still in effect on a fool can't see that, country. A person that doesn't have any wisdom and understanding can't see that. And it's modern-day Babylon. It's modern-day Mizraim. Oh, it's true.
But you know who sees?
Who needs to see? The LOM sees all.
Oh, yeah. That's what Hagar said, right?
Yes, exactly. You ain't going to get away. You think you're getting away? You're not going to get away. Praise God and bless this holy day. Cottrell, Sister Abia. That was a good story. I mean, it was a rather short, but a lot of lessons were told in this. If you got any wisdom and understanding, you can see the rock you were hewn from and the ditch you were dug from, and you can see how we should treat strangers. There's a lot of things you can garner from this if you humble yourself. If you look out, you seek wisdom and understanding, let the Most High footstep be your pathway. There's a lot of information in this chapter. And we didn't cover it at all. But when we come, I guarantee you, Most High will. When we come back the next time in the next segment of the study, we're going to pick up something else. That's why we beg y'all, we implore y'all, we beseech y'all to burn the midnight oil. And then share it along with us. Praise y'all and bless His holy name.
Hallelujah.
One other thing.
Okay.
Sarah didn't have a problem with Abraham having another wife.
No.
Hagar got out of line, like one of King Solomon's wife, who he said is better to dwell on a rooftop than in a house with a contentious woman. She became contentious.
Right.
But if she came back and wasn't as contentious as she was, and Sarah allowed that marriage to continue to exist.
Exactly. She wanted to be the head sister in charge, you know, and she didn't know her spot. I put you in that spot. I can take you out of that spot. And so whatever Sarah wanted to go down, would have went down. Believe that. Praise God.
And Hagar got a blessing out of it, didn't she?
What's that, Katria? Yes, she did.
I said Hagar got a blessing out of it, didn't she?
Exactly. Well, she humbled herself.
Oh, yeah.
Ain't nothing for free. People think everything for free. Ain't nothing for free. When she did what she needed to do, things worked for her. When she humbled herself, understood her role, and not trying to take.
And the most I don't have a problem with Egyptians serving him.
No.
or obeying him and following him.
No.
This is what Hagar did, an Egyptian.
Exactly. Praise God, God.
Praise God.
Very astute pickup. May the Most High bless you, country. May the Most High bless you, Abia. May the Most High bless you, fellow students. Praise God.
Most High bless you, too.
Praise God.
Thank you very much, my brother. Contrail, we're ready, if you're ready, and fellow students, if you're ready. Sister Abia, are you ready? We're ready for the next section. In Ecclesiastes, the song next, I guess, would be the Songs of Solomon. That's who wrote that Ecclesiastes. King Solomon.
Yeah, he got all kind of different pen names, like Lemuel and Koheleth.
Mm-hmm. Preacher?
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. His mother called him Lemuel.
Right. Yeah, that was a pet name. Lemuel.
So that's what we do, right? We got pet names for each other, don't we?
Exactly.
So we give thanks and praise to the Holy One of Israel, God Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who chose us as a nation, and our king, King Solomon, who the world considers the wisest man that ever lived. But it's funny, they don't study him like they study Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle, nor do they teach him in Western institutions. But we should teach our children and each other the wisdom of King Solomon. We should study him like the Chinese study Confucius.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Greeks studied their leaders and Socrates and Plato and all that kind of stuff. You know what I mean?
And you know the Chinese quote Confucius all the time. Confucius say,
Confucius
wise
say,
men should study all the time.
And we say King Solomon say.
Oh, yeah. What did King Solomon say?
Yeah.
Let's find out in Ecclesiastes chapter 8.
Thank you, God.
Verse 1. All praises. Who is like the wise man? And who knows the interpretation of a thing? A man's wisdom makes his face shine. Doesn't it? The more you know about Yah, the happier you should be. And the hardness of his face is changed. Yeah, you got hard-faced people. You can tell they don't know Yah. They're not at peace with themselves. I say, keep the king's command. Oh, the king is telling you to keep my command. But he's probably talking about Yah, because Yah is the king. Because of the oath to Elohim, that's what all kings should do. Make their vow to the Most High, right? If the king makes a vow to Yah, he keeps his vow, we good with the king. Don't be hasty to go out of his presence. Don't persist in an evil thing, for he does whatever he pleases. And we know that about King David, right? King David is checking you all the time, for the king's word is supreme. Who can say to him, what are you doing? Maybe the prophets. They're probably the only ones asking the kings what they're doing. And if you ain't no prophet, you better leave the king. You better leave that question to the prophets. Right?
Exactly. Exactly.
You're asking the king what he's doing. What you doing? No, you don't ask the king that. Whoever keeps the commandment shall not come to harm, and his wise heart will know the time and procedure. You got to know protocols when you're dealing with the king, right?
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But there's a time and a procedure for every purpose. So King Solomon letting us know there's codifications for everything. Although the misery of a man is heavy on him, and that's part of life. For he doesn't know that which will be. Nobody knows unless you're a prophet. For who can tell him how it will be? Only the Most High could tell you that. Like he told Hagar, your son, he's going to multiply. He's going to be fruitful. He's going to be a wild man of ass, but he's going to be good.
Mm-hmm.
There's no man who has power over the spirit to contain the spirit. Neither does he have power over the day of death. So you're supposed to be able to have power over your spirit to get control once you gain wisdom. You definitely have no power over the day of death. When it's your time to go, guess what happens?
Leaving
you.
You
don't go. When it's your time to go, you're going to go. That's why you should really fear death, because you can't stop it, can you?
No.
Nope.
There is no discharge in war. Neither shall wickedness deliver to those who practice it. Now, I don't know what he means by there is no discharge in war. I gotta meditate on that. But when he says, neither shall wickedness deliver those who practice it. Oh, no. People who are wicked, they think they're going to go on forever, like America.
I can tell you what it means by that.
What do you mean by that?
It said, no one has power in the day of death. And even the execution of that, there is no release from that war. You will never be able to release yourself from that war of death. It's inevitable.
Just like Father Time, right? Time and death.
Exactly.
You can't beat them.
No, you can't beat them. Ain't no release from it. You can't fight your way. You can't talk your way. You can't pray your way. Well, sometimes maybe you can too, if they already hear you. But otherwise, on your own accord, you can't do nothing from that. It is what it is. And the LOM doesn't give you any, and they had days for you.
You have to be on a level of Enoch and Elijah where you don't taste death.
Exactly.
And not many people are on that level, as we can see.
Exactly.
Verse 9. All this I have seen and applied my mind to every work that is done under the sun. There's a time in which one man has power over another to his hurt. So I saw the wicked buried. Indeed, they came also from holiness. They went and were forgotten in the city where they did this. This also is vanity. So how do you decipher this? He's looking at people who have power and oppress other people. He's saying that don't do them any good. They oppress other people to their hurt. And then when he sees the people who are oppressed buried, it's like they lived like a holy, righteous life, a holy life. They were blessed while they were alive, in other words.
Mm-hmm.
But after they died, everything they did was forgotten. He's saying this is all vanity. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily.
Therefore,
the heart of the sons of men. Huh?
You heard that, didn't you?
Yeah. Fortunately, in a Tyree Nichols situation, they executed speedily a little bit of justice. Right?
Yes.
But we don't usually see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like King Solomon said, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily. Therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. That's why people do evil, because they know they're going to get away with it for a long time.
They think they know. They think they're getting away with it.
Or they think they know, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Though a sinner commits crimes 100 times and lives long, yet surely I know that it would be better with those who fear Yah. There you go. Criminals, they think they're going to, you know, keep on committing crimes and getting away with it. But King Solomon says it's better for you to fear Yah than you to commit 100 crimes.
Right, and get away with it. And I think you got away with it.
Surely I know that it's better with those who fear Elohim, who are reverent before him. That's what we should all be, fearful of Yah and reverent before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he lengthen days like a shadow, because he doesn't fear Elohim. There's a vanity which is done in the earth, that there are righteous men to whom it happens according to the work of the wicked. Again, there are wicked men to whom it happens according to the work of the righteous. I said that this also is vanity. And I commended mirth, because a man has no better thing under the sun than to eat, drink, and to be joyful, for that will accompany him in his labor all the days of his life, which Elohim has given him under the sun. So, I'm trying to break this down when he says,
can I
break it down? To whom it happens according to the work of the wicked.
Well, okay,
right.
Let me explain to you. There's an illusion and a perception that what is happening to the wicked man is in accordance, should be happening to the righteous. And what is happening to the righteous man should in accordance be what is happening to the wicked man. It's just an illusion. It's just an illusion that the wicked man is getting away. It's just an illusion that the righteous man is not getting what's coming to him because he's going to get it in the final analysis. It's an illusion. Don't believe the illusion. Go ahead, Contreras.
As in the case of Tyree Nichols, a righteous man getting beat down. That should happen to wicked people.
Right.
What happened to him?
Right. But that's just an illusion. That's just a humanism frailty that you're looking from a humanistic aspect. And you think, oh, they got away. And everything's going to work out for them. And Tyree, that poor righteous brother, you know, he ain't got nothing going on for him. But in the reality, in a fine analysis, it's going to be a flip of the script, especially spiritual speaking. They shed innocent blood. Innocent blood has to be called for by the Elohim. Now, they may get away in the appearance of it. They may get away, consider Babylon, the door of Babylon. But in the final, that's just an illusion. They ain't getting away. And a righteous man is not is going to be treated as the wicked in the final analysis by the Elohim. You better believe that. And stop believing the illusion. That's all it is an illusion, people. Go ahead, Katriel.
So verse 16 speaks about the path that King Solomon was on. He said, when I applied my heart to know wisdom. How many of us should apply our heart to know wisdom?
Some people don't apply their heart to know what tomorrow is, okay?
The answer to the question is we should all be applying our hearts to know wisdom. It's like the king.
Exactly.
And to see the business that is done on the earth, even though I see no sleep day and night. So you're supposed to watch what's going on in the world.
Exactly.
Then
exactly.
I saw all the work of Elohim, right? You're supposed to be watching what the Most High is doing. Watch what
exactly.
Man is doing. Watch what the Most High is doing. That man can't find out the work that is done under the sun. Because however much a man labors to seek it out, yet he won't find it. So you're trying to find out what Yah is doing, what Yah's works are. You're only going to see a small portion of it based on how long you live, right?
Exactly.
And you can't see what was before you was born, and you definitely can't see what's going to be after you're dead.
You're certainly right about that, Carl. You can see some portions in regards to Tyree, Brother Tyree, what Yah is doing, his response to this. In this case, in this particular case, but universally, Yah doesn't always respond in a case-by-case scenario. Sometimes Yah let it happen, and he doesn't give a response that you can see. But in the final analysis, Yah going to handle the matter, whether we're here on earth or we're gone. The matter will be handled. Be assured of that fact.
And what King Solomon is trying to tell us is that no matter how wise you are, you're never going to figure out all the works of the Most High.
Well, I tell you this, Katriel, Yah didn't have a red line to me, and that's true.
What that mean?
He doesn't have a phone, the red phone, where he lets you know before and after and during. He doesn't. I just see glimpses of him and his responses. Sometimes the evidence.
You're supposed to have a spiritual hotline for the Most High.
Oh yeah,
like Ishmael.
That's,
when you,
that's
when
why,
you speak, the Most High wants to hear you.
That's why I see the responses or lack of, because the Most High don't want to respond to it at that time and that judge, but he will respond. But we're seeing the response in the case of Tyree. We're seeing the evidence Yah is acting speedily in this case. But sometimes we don't. That don't mean he ain't. That don't mean he won't. We just don't see the evidence.
All right. So King Solomon ends it on his humble statement. He says, yes, even though a wise man thinks he can comprehend it, he won't be able to find it. So he's showing his humility. As wise as I think I am, all the wisdom that I'm spitting, I'm never going to find it out unless I live forever and Yah shows me.
Mm-hmm. You and me both, my brother. Just like my speculation and theories in regards to what the Elohim is saying, it's just that. Now, it may be true, and it very well may not be true. But I will find out one of these days, Most High willing, but not today. Praise Yah and bless his holy name.
Praise Yah.
So the wisest man that ever lived knows his limitations, and we should all know our limitations as well. We don't know everything, and you can never know everything. And we should be humbled by that, fear Yah, and reverence him, and pray and hope that he gives us a long life to enjoy his works for as long as we can see him.
And I know I certainly ain't the wisest man in the world. I ain't no King Solomon. Truth be told. Praise Yah.
Praise
Yah. Any more commentaries? Any more shalom tonight?
No, y'all broke it down good as always. Okay. No commentaries.
Okay. Cartrell?
Yes, as much as I've studied scriptures over the years, like every time I study it, it's refreshing. So I enjoy the show. I enjoy the breakdown. I enjoy the conversation. And more people should be involved. But we pray that our people turn their hearts like King Solomon said when they apply their hearts to know wisdom. So we pray and hope that our people apply their hearts to know wisdom, because it's the only key to really reaching the Most High. All praise to the Most High. We love y'all. Shalom and good night.
As Cartrell said and Sister Abigail said, I said too. Praise Yah, bless his holy name. May he bless you. May he direct and order your steps. Stop leaning to your own understanding. It ain't cute. It ain't working for you. It's working on you. The wisest man in the world said, you ain't smart as you think you are. I'm the wisest man in the world. I don't know this. So if you think you're smart, because you saw, which was the wisest man in the world, boy, you something special. But we do the best we can. Praise the Most High, along with wisdom and understanding. There we do. But praise God and bless his holy name. And may it bless each of you. Come on back. Work with us. Stop working on our nerves. Stop working on your own nerves. You ain't cute. It ain't working for you. And you ain't nowhere. Okay? Praise God and bless his holy name. We love you. May the Most High bless you. And may the Most High help you to be restored back to your nations. And help us to be restored back to our nation and our land. Praise Yah. Hallelujah. Katrina, Sister Abigail, I love y'all. May the Most High bless you.
And let's move. You too, brother and family. Shalom, good night.
Thank you, sister. Thank you, brother. And let's keep moving together in the right direction by continuing studying the Most High Word and letting his footsteps be our pathway with the assistance of wisdom and understanding. Hallelujah. Good night.
I feel just like a kite, but one without a string, one that is floating around. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. I feel just like a bird, but one without a home, one that is floating over endless oceans, empty horizons, no rest in sight. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free of me. Then you say, then you say, you're moving on. Then you say, I've got other plans. Oh, 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 girl, oh. You're moving in the wrong direction. Moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction. So far away from me. You're moving in the wrong direction, moving in the wrong direction, yeah. You're moving in the wrong direction, so far away from me. Thank you.
you're moving in the wrong direction. So far away from me. I wish my mama was here. A strong, strong, steady rose. She would know what to do, what to say, how to pray to make things better. What does it mean when you say you wanna be free? Free to sing, free to dance, free to let someone take a glance in a world that's free.